Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I'm going to lose control of this segment. I'm sure I will. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We are celebrating the holidays. We're at Costas Inn. We're not in front of the big Costas sign, so I wore the Costas shirt here today for the 31st anniversary of this radio show as of Tuesday. Yeah, 31 years and 2 days. I made it. It'll be our 25th anniversary at WNST a little later on in August of next year. We'll be celebrating that. The Maryland Lottery comes along with us. The holiday cash drop. Roz dropped these off last week at Fadley's. I'm giving them away all day here at Costas. We're going to have Gina Schock from the Go-Go's by a little later on. All of it brought to you by our friends at Goodwill Industries. Give to them if you're cleaning out your places. And make sure you're shopping there as well. Had Dan Rodericks last week on a program say he's doing all secondhand buying at places like Goodwill to support the environment as well. And our friends at Window Nation, they support the environment. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free, and it's 0% financing. That's an even better deal than the deal that I had. Pete has sent crab cakes out. We are at Costas, and these delicious crab... This is the crab cake tour. So the crab cake tour has crab cakes involved, legitimate crab cakes, but it also, today... has rock stars. And if you want some of that, go ahead, have at it. We're community
goodness.
Here. I've been knowing Lisa Matthews here, George Candelas, Michael Gell for many, many, many moons. You guys knew me. I was a little boy, right? I mean, I was 15, 16 years old, backstage at the Marble Bar, at the Galaxy, whatever it was upstairs. And Joyce says to you guys, this guy writes at the paper, man. He gets syndicated. Like you can get you. So beyond words.
Well, and, we're 90. I'm 90.
No, you're not.
He's
you're 21 and beautiful. Beyond Words was one of my pet bands because I loved you guys and I loved Joyce.
Well, we did have a giraffe in the band.
What'd you have?
We had a giraffe and a dog. You said pet,
but not
bands.
A donkey.
Pet no. bands, get it?
Okay, no, pet bands. It. That's like Pet Sounds, like the Beach Boys.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm going to milkshake you in a minute, and we'll love riot you. But, George, you began this journey with Joyce last segment, talking about Beyond Words as being like the Motels, because you had a beautiful female singer, you had a sax player. You were in that, you weren't a Hammer Jacks band, although you did play Hammer Jacks.
Right. Yes.
Give me the story from, and we'll pick Gina up when she gets here, about where Scratch and Sniff ended, and she went on a jalopy out to L.A. But when did this thing start? Because I literally don't even know this story.
This started 80, 81.
Sounds
Mike,
right.
Michael and I and a bass player. And then the bass player left, so Michael and I continued, and we decided we needed a singer. We lost a singer, had vocal nodules, couldn't find a singer, looked everywhere in Baltimore, looked everywhere in Washington.
Alana Shore was taken, right, at that point, right?
Yeah, she was too
fair
young.
Enough, right?
She was 11. So at that point, honestly, I put an ad in the Village Voice in New York, and the main thing I would get is, what area code is this? Baltimore. Click. So... That did not work. Lisa picked up and said, well, what is this? And I said, Baltimore, I need a singer. And she said, well, I don't really know. I'm in New York. Can you send me a tape? And I'll send you a tape. So the story is neither tape arrived. I had everything in a spiral notebook. I had a bunch of names, people that I'd called. I eventually, on a whim one day, just said, you know what? Let me just call again and see. And I called Lisa. She picked up. And it was kismet because she said, oh, yeah, well, I never got your tape. And I said, oh, yeah, I never got your tape. She said, I'm coming down to Gaithersburg to see my parents this weekend. So we had a band with a female singer. We rehearsed with a female singer from 2 to 4. And at 4:30, Lisa walked in, and that was it. We started right with her and never stopped.
That's the way you remember it?
Kind of, sort of. Yeah, oh, no, all, I mean, my thinking was, oh, wow, 301, or... What was it? 301 Erica,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Back then, sure.
Yeah. And I said, I could visit Mommy. It was just going to be a weekend thing.
Did you grow
to
up in the D.C. area then, or no?
No. I grew up in New York. I'm a Queens girl, Bayside Queens.
I don't know that at all about
you.
Well,
now you know.
Now I know. Now I know your toughness.
And I am. By that point,
today.
I lived in Greenwich Village, had a little rent control apartment. Never heard of now, you know, but I had my own rehearsal space in the music building on 30th Street. It was called the music building because there were all these rehearsal spaces and studios. And I remember mine was called Safe Sound on the 6th floor. And the Ramones rehearsed in the basement at Planet Sound. And
that must have been loud.
I could hear them. They were so loud. You always knew when the Ramones were downstairs rehearsing. But yeah, it was great. I loved New York, but then George and Michael.
Fate came calling.
I don't know what it
changed
was.
Changed your life, right? Literally.
Well, we were rehearsing and writing songs and playing out, and then I said I can't do this anymore, and I left. Went, you know, I just like I can't keep going back and forth from New York to Baltimore, and then I realized shortly that I can't not do it. I just kept hearing the music in my head. You know, I just loved it. Remained the same. All those great songs. And so I just left. I left everything I had in New York. I just took
came
a trip.
To Baltimore.
That's it. And that was it. So that's how I remember it.
Too. Wow.
Glad
so
you did.
What year was this? It's 81, 82? Where are we here?
84. Yeah.
84, a little later then. Okay.
Yes.
So I'd already known Joyce at that point.
Correct.
I'm trying to piece all... Michael, where do you come into this? And it's so good to see you. And I can't wait to talk about Milkshake and all that. But you got your Oreo gear. You patronizing me? Is that what you're doing?
365. I love the Ravens, but I wear my Oreo gear
every day. You are true orange and black. Like, totally. Yeah. 1,000,000%.
And we were talking earlier. Like, you say 84, but I distinctly remember that in 83, when the Orioles were in the World Series, we were doing a rehearsal with you. We did a long rehearsal. I think it was a Sunday. Maybe that was when you were commuting back to New York, because we did it on a Sunday. We went late. You left. I came home and watched that last game of the World Series, and then we won. And, of course, I was living in Charles Village, so I just walked over to Memorial Stadium. We all waited for the buses to come back. And
just walked down 33rd Street, right?
Yeah, and we were there when the Orioles got back after they beat the Phillies. So I remember that being part of your history here. So it must be 83.
The connections of music and friendships, and you know, we hear about bands breaking up, and we'll have the Go-Go's and tell that story a little later on, but the different genres of an ad in the Village Voice during that period of time where MTV was happening, right? Money for Nothing, Chicks for Free, right? Like, I knew lots of people that wanted to be rock stars. Obviously, I knew John when he was a kid doing the hairspray and the metal thing, and it was a different gig. You both now have, you mentioned the Ramones. I know Scratch and Sniff had some punk rock sensibilities.
Oh, yeah.
I've spent some time with the Go-Go's documentary to realize where those young ladies came from in the L.A. sort of punk scene. We talk about CBGBs and whatever. Something about punk and new wave at that time, I guess Blondie and Debbie Harry would be in the middle of that, right? Like, how do you get from, you know, Sex Pistols to the Motels or Beyond Words or the Cars or what MTV became? But all of this was rooted in really loud, punk rock, aggressive, antisocial behavior, right?
Somewhat, yeah. And then I think when people sort of get into that, they want to do maybe their version of it or their spin, and things start to take a different, you know, then you have grunge, and then you have things start to slow down, things speed up, it gets more electronic, less electronic, and the variations are endless.
Well, electronic wasn't a bad thing in your era, right? I mean, that was an introductory part of rock music at that point, right?
Yeah, and I think New Wave was very electronic. You know, the synthesizer was all Simmons drums, right? You know, and...
Human League and all that.
It was more... It's really fun having spent 40 plus years in music, and each decade was dedicated for me to one band, right? 80s was Beyond Words, 90s was Love Riot, the 2000s and to now was Milkshake, right? And each band is unique and reflected both the time, I think, that was going on, what was going on during that decade, and for me personally, what was going on in my life, you know, who I was. And the 80s, like Beyond Words, I remember we changed. That music started changing as it got closer to the 90s.
Well, technology changed music as well at that point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, video and Peter Gabriel, you know, the sounds of the merging sounds, right, of new wave and rock and even hard rock.
And the music business was changing.
Like
it used to be that they call it being an indie artist now, and it has some cred, but at the time, it just meant you didn't get a major label.
It meant you didn't have any money, you played the band.
You said, yeah, yeah. So you're like, well, I didn't get a major label doing it. You put out your own record, and it used to be in those days, it was you might as well throw a Frisbee with it, you know. But then as we first started, they were starting to get distribution was better, and then you could play, you know, you could get on college radio, and you could, right. you know, you'd have a hit in another, you know, not a hit, but you'd be played on college radio in another town. You could go there and have people that knew your songs, and so yeah, that was
college radio was big for us, you know.
We HFS of that era,
right? Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. But at the same time, and I think you guys would agree, business wise, just as the music was very different, 80s to 90s, you know, to now, very different from the 90s and 80s. But the business, beyond words, was, you know, these records. We first, this is an interesting thing,
I love that you
thing,
brought
right?
the albums, by the way.
We
I
made records back then, right? It's come full circle. Now you're making records again, right? But we did this ourselves, but it was, we were limited in how successful we would be in the 80s, because to be in a band that was successful, you still needed a record contract. You needed to be on a record label. And we spent a lot of time trying to get a record deal.
I talked
and we
to
were
Joyce
always
about
really
that.
Close.
Showcasing
okay. yeah.
and going to New York.
Yep.
And New York was where it was going to have to happen for you, right? Literally.
It's where the industry is there in L.A. And you get a much bigger chance of somebody coming to see you in New York than to say, hey, we're going to play Gerard's. Will you come down?
Yeah. Right, sure.
You know, so, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sat in people's offices, Joyce and I did, and they would just sort of go, well, you know, you haven't really shown me the right incentive to play the record. So you read into that what you want.
There you go.
Or we like Beyond Words. We just don't love Beyond Words.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I have a whole folder full of rejection letters, yeah.
But the 90s, it started changing, and then now it's a DIY industry altogether. Who cares about a record company, really?
Look at Justin Bieber, right?
You just don't need one.
YouTube and all that.
Well,
you
changing
know,
a brand, I mean,
fascinating.
I did sports for 25 years. I'm 31. The last 5 or 6 years, I've tried to have more of these kind of conversations, because my life's been about more than just sports, in the same way your life's been about more than sort of, you know, new wave music that you wrote 35 years ago. You guys with the Milkshake thing and with Love Riot and how this has happened, that most people I know's kids in this area have come in contact with Milkshake. And I don't know that when I knew you back in the 80s, you'd say, one day we're going to really form this incredible thing, but it's going to service children and education and...
Yeah.
Folk songs, kind of, sort of, right? Like modern folk music, right?
Well, you can't predict, right? I mean, you could, I don't know. Some people say, I'm going to be a lawyer when they're 10, and they become lawyers, right?
But John said he's going to be a rock star. Look at how that turned out.
There he is. He's a rock star. That's so funny. But you know, for me in the 80s, Beyond Words, I was in my 20s, right?
Hanging in clubs.
And I would dance around barefoot on stage, and that was dangerous right there. But I felt immortal, you know? I felt young and immortal. And then in the 90s, I was in love, and that was more romantic music. Love Riot was all about love in all its many dimensions, right? And
well, that's
then,
when your head was to write at that point, right?
Yeah,
sure, yeah.
And that was reflective for me then. But and then I had a baby, so all of a sudden, who cares about love anymore? I need to write songs for my baby.
And my wife had had it. My wife had had a child. We had a child about the same time Lisa did, so the timing was good.
When's the last time Beyond Words played together, as you guys would know it? Was it in the 80s then?
No.
92?
No.
92.
It just kind of went into the 90s. And the music, again, was really changing. We have this... You know, I've been archiving, right?
Well, I invited Mike Brillhart today, right?
Okay.
So Brillhart's a Dundalk, one of my brethren. And he said, oh, I've been in touch with Lisa about like all of this music that you have made during the course of your life that you want to, I guess, preserve, present, represent, right? Literally.
Right, right. And it's very gratifying seeing this vast catalog of music. But it's also like... I forgot my train of thought.
No. You're talking about the notion of writing songs and how you've grown, right? I mean, you can see who you were as a kid, and then you can see where you are now.
Yeah, but back to the Beyond Words thing. Yes, I remember. We were saving these 2-inch tapes. We had to digitize them, right? Otherwise, that music would just go away. It would just fall away as right. magnetic dust if
the,
you don't
the emulsion
save these
will not play on the heads anymore
the
after
80s.
A certain point.
Right.
After 35, 40 years, it just deteriorates,
yeah.
literally.
So we realized we've got to save them. We saved the music, and now we're saving all these videos. And I did not realize until George just dug up all these boxes how many things Beyond Words did. Video-wise, we were all over cable at the time. That was a big thing, right? And did so many videos. So we're starting. We've got the Beyond Words YouTube channel now. I set up a website. So
I'm glad that I had you by for this. Tell everybody how to find all this
BeyondWordsBand.com, and that'll link you to a Bandcamp. And on this Bandcamp is all this music. And some of it was never released. You know, we went down and worked with this producer who worked with...
The Allman Brothers.
Allman Brothers.
Yeah. We were at their studio, yeah. their rehearsal studio. That's
down
where
in Bradenton, Florida, yeah. and we spent a couple weeks recording these songs that were really more 90s music, mm-hmm. don't you think?
Yep.
And it's really great stuff. Never,
it was never released.
Never released. Never.
Until now.
Oh, until now. On Bandcamp.
That's kind of neat. I'm into that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as much as young people are pushing their music, there's all this music that exists that's a huge part of your life
yeah.
that your kids haven't even heard, right? Literally, right?
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, there's a market for 80s music, 90s music, Stranger Things. It's all 80s, right?
The cool so, Kate Bush phenomenon,
yeah.
Right?
Now, have you guys ever gotten together in modern times just for fun and gone in the basement and played no. In My Dreams, or no? The last time you sang In My Dreams was 30 years ago, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll play it on guitar, and she'll sing a line, and then say, "Okay, now what are we playing tonight?" Yeah, I'll do it at sound check.
So, is it archived in that way in your mind? Do you not want to do it? It means something to me. I know it means a lot to you.
No, right now, this has been like a rebirth for me, a re-respecting of this music, because Beyond Words wrote a lot of great music. Again, so many things we didn't release. And, I mean, recordings on Beta. You know, I'm like, why didn't we do something with this?
Right.
It's amazing.
At least you're getting it off the tape here in 2022.
Yes, saving it and putting it on the Beyond Words Bandcamp. So people that like 80s music should go to BeyondWordsBand.com, you know, and same thing with Love Riot. Saved all that music, LoveRiotBand.com. And
do you guys play some Love Riot music from time to time, or no?
Yeah.
That's shelved as well, right?
No, I play those songs all the time at home.
Yeah.
We'll do them at soundcheck, but we haven't done a show yet.
No.
But like you say about relationships, it being in a band with someone it's a relationship unlike any other, and there's a love and that when I saw
That's
George,
true.
I hadn't seen George for a couple of years, and I just gave him the biggest hug, and it's just, I'm glad you
it's
gave out.
It's beautiful I could bring you guys together. Thank you for making
it. It's wonderful.
Listen, this thing all began, and I'll tell Gina this as well, because Gina's going to be coming in a little bit and be a part of this. Joyce taught me. Joyce taught John. Joyce and I were friends. John and I were together, and I'm like, "You have Joyce's number? Give me." And then, well, let's all go get Indian food. So before the plague, three, 4 years ago, the six of us went out, spent a bunch of money, drank a lot, ate a lot, had beer, laughed, sopped up with the naan bread, did the whole deal.
Nice.
And it was that night that I realized he was in the band with Gina Schock, and I'm like, I've been trying to get Gina Schock on my show for 15 years. She's from Dundalk. Everybody tells me I don't know her. I don't know anybody that knows her. I've never seen her do anything in Baltimore. I've never been in a room with her or known I've been in a room with her. But I know she grew up right over by Cross and Blackwell's. Everybody, it's a legend, urban legend. Like, I didn't even know whether it was true or not.
It's true.
You told me it was true, and I tabled it. And then the plague happened, and John Allen and I, who are strangely friends in real life, were out going to a concert one night. We were in a car, and I'm driving as usual, and he's passenger and pontificating. And we started talking about Gina Schock. He's like, "Hey, you seen that documentary, The Go-Go's?" And I'm like, because we talk about this. I saw the Patty one, the Eagles one, but I haven't seen that one. He's like, "Dude, the minute she opens her mouth, she's like Baltimore. She's like Dundalk."
He's
like,
so cool.
And he had never met her, and I had never met her. So flash forward 6 weeks ago, I'm doing the show in Dundalk right down the road at Drug City, and I woke up at 6 in the morning, and Donna Jean Rumbly from 100.7 is my friend, and she's got pictures of her and Gina Schock doing breakfast together in Cockeysville. And I'm like,
Hello?
Nobody called me. Nobody told me. And by 9:30, her manager is on the phone with me. She's coming over to Drug City. I text John. I'm like, dude, Gina Shock's coming in 5 hours to do a segment with me. You got to come over. John dropped everything in Western Howard County, got the kids taken, came over, sat down. Gina did 21 minutes like a whirlwind. She came into the room and had to go. And she said, I'm coming back for Christmas. We're doing this again.
Oh, great.
So today is the day. And putting all this, John's doing some traveling with his family and trying to put all, and there's going to be an even better story when Gina gets here about this Hard Rock gig that's coming up on the 28th. That she's doing. But your link to Gina, can you just give me a Gina story? She's not here yet. Tell some Gina stories that you want to tell before she gets here. What do I need to know about Gina?
You need to know about Gina. Let me think. I have my cheat sheet.
Now, you guys knew that he had been in a band with the Go-Go's drummer, right? When you met him, right?
When he ran that, when she left to L.A., they needed, he was actually playing guitar.
Right. So Scratch and Sniff, what was Scratch and Sniff real quickly? What was that?
Charles Freeman played bass. We went to high school together, first grade. So he was the bass player. I was the guitar player. We had a singer. We needed a drummer. I still can't remember how exactly we met Gina. But we went over, somebody introduced us, and we went to her house on 45th Street and went into the upstairs bedroom. It was the kind of house where they had a summer kitchen. They lived largely downstairs. It was a full basement, but it had a kitchen and a living room, full bath.
Very Dundalk. Very Dundalk.
And upstairs were the bedrooms, and there was very frilly curtains. I remember pink curtains and a big drum set and a big stereo system. The old headphones with the coiled wire, and she would put those things on.
Had you met girls that played the drums before?
No.
This is the first woman you've ever met that played the drums. Okay. This is 1975, 77?
She still plays with, like, baseball bats, you know? And she can whack it. She's in the pocket. She's not, you know, she's not Neil Peart, but who is? But she could play, and she can still play. She was great.
So cool. I mean,
so that's you meeting her.
Yep.
And then she leaves on a truck and goes away.
Well, we said, you know, do you want to be in the band? And we were in the band and all the stuff happened. The thing that I think was maybe really helpful for her is that when we did covers, like we did Eno covers off of Here Come the Warm Jets, we would say, we're going to do some Eno. And she was like, all right, well, let me hear it. And I'd say, no, let me just play it for you. I don't want you to play their stuff. Let's make our version.
Good.
So to sort of start to learn how to write.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're going to write your part. I'm not going to tell you what to play. You play. And she still remembers that. And she credits us for that.
Yay. So.
See, I'm getting beautiful stories here today.
The most amazing thing is that when Gina left, he was the drummer. Charles was the bass player. He decided that he was the guitar player. He then decided he wanted to be a drummer. So he switched from guitar to drums, and then they ran an ad in the Baltimore City paper that I responded to for a guitarist. So then instead of replacing Gina, he just got behind the kit, and then I answered the ad.
He decided you were a better drummer. Yeah. He was a better guitar player.
I got to stop running these ads.
Right. Well, that's how you found the band, right?
That's true.
In the day,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You were looking for a band. You didn't know it was in Baltimore, right?
That's true.
You responded to a part of something in the
Village Voice. That's so wild.
Changed your life.
Yeah.
She traded her car. She worked at AAA up on Mount Royal Avenue. She had a Monte Carlo. And we were like, oh my God, a Monte Carlo. Traded it to her dad for his pickup truck, loaded it full of shit, and went.
And that was
so
the end.
So cool.
Took a friend and...
So, maybe I should ask you this when Gina gets here, but I remember the first time I saw the Go-Go's was We Got the Beat. I saw the video.
Right.
Melinda's beautiful. It's got this poppy, you know. Right. Can you? So, I remember seeing the video for it. You were still in touch. I mean, were you in touch with her at that point as a friend?
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm in this band with these girls and we're playing the Rocks. And you're like, and you're about to start Beyond Words.
You
at that
look
point,
and
right?
She's on the cover of Rolling Stone, right? She's opening for the Stones. She's opening for the Police. And your head explodes because you think, God, she was just here. You know? How did that happen? So,
well, I guess that also gives you belief when you meet someone really talented from New York that's willing to come down here and, but really willing to be all in.
It's true.
You had a North Star. I mean, look, we can say Beyond Words 35 didn't make it in that way, but when you see, I mean, I'll ask Johnny about this. When John sees Poison making it after they opened for him at the Seagull, I would think it changes your oh, I can. We can do that. Right. We can really do that. Right. And that was real for you, having been in a band with Chicken Shop, right?
It's the work, right? Yeah. We worked constantly. We didn't play out as much as maybe we could have. We didn't make money, but we worked at it all the time.
Yeah.
Worked at our craft. And Gina said when she got to L.A., they wanted to play, they wanted to party, and she was like, that won't work. And you see that in the documentary. We have got to get down to work, and she's got a career to prove it.
You know? That's great.
I got the members of Beyond Words here. Love Riot, yeah. Milkshake, Michael Gell in the corner of the left with the Oriole, the perfect Oriole logo, I might add, and Memories of 1983, and still holding out hope, like Eddie Lauer over there, that one day there will be a world championship trophy here in Costas.
You bet.
Lisa Matthews, of course, Milkshake, Beyond Words, and Love Riot, and of course George Candelas, who brought all of this together along with Joyce, my high school art teacher, as well as John Allen. Milkshake, I want to certainly pay respect to what you've done and what you're doing.
Yeah.
This winds up being the enduring. Some folks will know Beyond Words. They go out, they'll listen. Certainly Love Riot. People my age that came out and saw you guys playing. But Milkshake has become this seminal, eternal thing that I'm sure you have grown adults that come up and say, they call you Miss Lisa or Mr. Michael or whatever, that remember you from singing to them when they were a kid, and maybe a great exposure for them to say, I want to sing. I want to play guitar. I want to write songs, right?
That is happening. Yes, yes. And you know what? When those stories come by us, you know, like, oh, my daughter, now she's singing because of you, you know.
Some of them are at Oberlin, and, you know,
they're
at music
places.
Academies.
Very
they got into music early, and they never stopped. Yeah, a lot of them.
Incredibly gratifying.
Reminds me of a couple people I'm on a set with here. Got into music early, never stopped, right?
Yeah. And Milkshake, you know, each band, Beyond Words, Love Riot, Milkshake, had its own success, you know. I mean, I remember playing the Ritz opening for Men Without Hats. What, that was wicked fun. I mean,
we can dance if we want to.
Yeah, right. And Love Riot, we played ourselves busking in the subway for the subway episode of Homicide: Life in the Streets. We played the Lilith Fair. I mean, we won an award.
We did the Preakness.
We went to Japan. Yes, we played the Preakness with Beyond Words. Went to Japan with Love Riot. Won an international competition. Amazing. And then Milkshake was crazy. Grammy nominated. You know, all this wonderful success. Videos on PBS Kids and Nick Jr. and Discovery.
And a genre that's not obvious to people,
No, no, no. But now the genre's very much changed and exploded. So many bands doing it now. But
what are you doing now? Bring me up to speed. Because I would see you at the ballpark time to time. I see you guys pop up. We're all Facebook connected in some way. But, I mean, the music you guys have written is beautiful. For any kid could come in here right now and you pick it up, and it's fresh to that child, literally, right?
Right. Well, our audience keeps, like, recycling, you know? We get, okay, so 9, 10, you're out. Now you're into something else, a different kind of music. But the 1, 2, 3s, there's people are always having kids, right? So that's regenerating our
audience.
There's
always new young ladies to become Taylor Swift fans.
It's so funny, right? That's true. Yeah,
we love playing with the full band, but the nice thing about Milkshake is we can break it down to a duo and go into libraries or classrooms. Yeah. We're in schools dozens of times a year. So it actually became a job, you know, where you could count on some gigs, and that's fun, you know, because we do enjoy playing as a duo as well.
Yeah, but I don't know. We'll see what's next.
Yeah, what's next is crab cakes. How about that?
Oh, that's
and we're
going to
take a break. We're at Costas. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Talking old rock and roll, old bands, Beyond Words, one of my favorites from the 80s here. Great members and an incredible connection to George and Gina Schock from Scratch and Sniff. I got it, you know, I did a little research. I don't research these shows usually, but I did a little bit of Go-Go's documentary stuff to go back. The Scratch and Sniff stuff, I need to experience that music because I want to hear what you were doing. Because I know the punk rock of that era, but I don't know Scratch and Sniff music. Does it exist? Is it on YouTube? Is there a place to get it?
It exists, but I really have to dive deep to find it.
All right. Well, Gina's here. So, she probably got it on 8-track or something from back in the day, or cassette tapes or whatnot. All right. We got rock and roll royalty and Hall of Famers here. It is all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, the holiday cash drops. One for you. I feel like Oprah.
Woo!
One for you. One for you.
Woo-hoo!
One for you. Everybody's 18 here. Please do not. And listen, this is really important for you Milkshakers, okay? I want to tell this story as best I can tell it. So last year, year, a Maryland Lottery sponsored, and the director of the Maryland Lottery comes on, John Martin. And he does a really serious segment with me last year, right around this time. He's like, I got to talk about something. You're going to think it's a little weird, but it's good. He said, so we get on the air, and he's like, all right, so these are not stocking stuffers for people under the age of 18. So he does a segment with me. I'm like, okay, John, cool, you know. So that night, I'm having dinner with my wife. We were out at the Beaumont in Kingsville. And I said, I did the damnedest thing. I had John on today, and we were talking about, like, people giving kids lottery tickets and putting them in there. And my wife's like, oh, no. She tells me, and this is in the 80s, so it's all, it's not on the up and up, but nobody could be prosecuted, not her parents, right? Because they're lawless, her parents. They gave the kids lottery tickets, and she won $500. Her sister. No. Didn't tell mom or dad. Paraded around with money, flashing money, and the neighbors saw it and said, hey, Jackie and Dan, because they all speak like they're from the Habba. They're from New Hampshire. Your daughter is, I think she won the lottery or something. And so this is Jamie. So my wife's telling me the story. I'm like, you're the reason I need to do public service announcements. So milkshake parents, don't give your kids lottery tickets, all right? No. Love you guys. Appreciate you.
Yes.
This is Matthews, Michael Gallen.
So
and George is going to stay with us. John Allen's going to come back up. Gina Schock from the Go-Go's is going to be home, as they say. We're home. We're on the east side. We're in Dundalk. We're at Costa. It's all brought to you by our friends at Goodwill. Make sure you're giving and buying during this holiday season.
Recycle.
Absolutely. And our friends, of course, at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing. Better deal than I got. But you'll save money on heating and air conditioning as well. And your cat will love it. My cat loves it. She sits in the window and loves it. All right. Crab cakes for all my friends.
Woo!
Thanks much.
Rock and rollers in.
Thanks,
John
Mr.
Allen's family's here. It's a mess down here. We're Dundalk.
Woo!
It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, Goodwill, and Window Nation. We're back for more from Costas, my 31st anniversary celebration with friends and rock stars. It's all good. Back for more right after this.